Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, a fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our Lord God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want to walk as a child.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Redeemer.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In our Old Testament reading for today, we read of a fantastic promise. The promise of the Messianic banquet, when the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. And this time will be the time when the Lord will destroy the sheep that is spread over all nations. The promise is that death will be destroyed and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The tears will be wiped away from all faces, everywhere, everybody. What is very clear in this promise is that the promise is all-inclusive for everyone, for all peoples. The banquet in the parable that Jesus gives us in Matthew's gospel is a little different. Here it is the king who gives a wedding banquet for his son. In the Mediterranean culture of Jesus' time, two invitations were given. The first one asked the guests to attend. A second one announced that everything was ready, so come. The king invited the upper class, the elite, to the banquet. Among them are a landowner, a farmer, and a businessman. At this time, it was common for the invited elite to ask among themselves just whom exactly was invited. And are these people really going to go? You might do this when you're invited to a party. Ask around among your friends, are you invited? Are you going? This was common. Then the second invitation came. Now the king stressed a sumptuous meal prepared from the best oxen, and we can imagine roasts from fattened calves. All indeed was ready. But for unknown reasons, some of these key landowners and businessmen decided to stay away, and they gave flimsy excuses. This was typical. It was traditional that the excuses would be indirect, and it would be a face-saving method of refusing an invitation. But the important thing here is that if a few of these elite didn't go, that would influence their neighbors and friends who might stay away also. And together, this was terribly shaming and rude to the king. Others of those invited turned violent, and they seized and killed the messenger servants. This conduct required redress according to the rules of honor and shame that were typical of the day. So the enraged king took out his revenge. He destroyed those murderers and even burned their city. Now, it seems extreme to even burn the city, but I'll talk about this in a minute. But what was the most unusual of all in this parable is that a third invitation is extended by the king. This invitation is an open invitation to the common people of the day. Highly unusual, because banquets were usually exclusive to the elite. The king's servants are sent into the main roads, which ended in a plaza or a square, and it was in these plazas or squares where the elite would have dealings or meet the common folk. Table fellowship in Jesus' time was extremely important. We recall the criticism given the early Christian communities as reported by Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. When the Lord's Supper was celebrated in the early church, it included a feast or a fellowship meal followed by the celebration of communion. In Corinth, these feasts had become a time when some ate and drank excessively while others went hungry. There was little sharing and caring. This did not demonstrate the love and unity that should characterize the church, and Paul scolded those people in Corinth. The point is that by having an all-inclusive banquet where good and bad alike are invited, the king in today's parable risked being shunned by all of the other fellow elite people. Now, any of the invited elite who did come and mingled with the common folk or whatever would suffer the same consequences. They too would be shunned by the rest of the elite. This would be equivalent to suicide in the Mediterranean world, because at that time, one's status, one's prestige, and so on, was totally dependent on one's social network. But, surprise of surprises, again for some unknown reason, one of the commoners decides to shame and insult the king by not wearing a wedding garment. Now, it's not because this poor fellow didn't have one. At these banquets, the host, in this case the king, would have had them available for all of the guests. In retaliation, the king has this upstart thrown out and asks him, how did he get into the banquet in the first place? Now, most commentators agree that Jesus directed this parable against his elite opponents, the chief priests and the elders. Just as he did in last Sunday's gospel about the landowner who planted the vineyard. Jesus' message is clear. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news. Matthew's telling of Jesus' parable gives us a glimpse of the messianic banquet to come, as one of total inclusivity. Those invited are the rich and the poor, the good and the bad. But even when given an open invitation, certain rules still apply. One is expected to wear a wedding garment. This is kingdom talk for new life or righteous conduct. In other words, people were held to standards of behavior, of justice, of righteousness. It's not enough just to get invited into the banquet. Your conduct must pass muster. And Matthew really goes far. He judges that poor man and has them thrown into outer darkness. I mean, he makes it very clear. As the parable of the king makes clear, there's an urgency about the coming event. We expect the kingdom of God or heaven to break in. And I'll never forget one of my seminary professors who was a bishop kept saying, do we really know what we pray for when we say the Our Father every Holy Communion? But I know many of us say it every single day. We say, thy kingdom come. And he emphasized, and I had him for several classes again and again, are we ready for that? Are we ready for thy kingdom come? Because Jesus demands action. Choose life. Choose the way we want to live, the way God wants us to live. The good news is that today's gospel parable teaches us how God relates to his people. The reign of God, God's kingdom, is like this all-inclusive banquet given by the king. The implication is that we, God's people, ought to relate to each other in the same way. The question for us to ponder today is, do we relate to people in the same inclusive way? Do we relate to people in the same inclusive way?
As I've reflected on this question in light of the messianic banquet promised by Isaiah, I have continually come back to an image that I saw on television about a week after Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. A Hispanic chef flew into San Juan, and I wish I could find his name. I thought they said he was from New York City. I don't quite remember that. Anyway, this chef prepared meals for 250,000 for 250,000 victims of the hurricane. And they showed him cooking on these open air fires with these huge, really huge cauldrons in that totally devastated space. I couldn't believe my eyes as the camera spanned those huge vats of rice and other dishes. All were invited, women and men, old and young, dark and light, rich and poor. Lord, give us the grace to continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now I want to ask our senior warden, Dee Taylor, to come forward.
You please stand with me. And let us share our faith together in the reciting of the Nicene Creed found on page 10 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Karan, Regina, Irene, Larry and Sally, June, Michael, Joe, Laura, Taylor, Shay, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Tony, Jane, Charles, Tony, Zach, Cliff, Betsy, Pat, Charlie, Michael, Clara, Gary, Georgina, Nancy, Judy, Joyce, Bernard, Russ, Ray, Jerry, Sarah, Liza and Billy, Janice, Bill, Polly, Martha. Lord, in your mercy.
Are
there any other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Chris Schutz. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. With you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for by water and the Holy Spirit you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we make bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven, blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart,
through Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God.